out a script today.
April 29th.
Honestly, I am kind of going not totally scriptless. Not scriptless at all.
So you do have a script?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like
right in front of me.
Okay. Read it.
Are we going? Are we rolling right now?
Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Oklahoma Today podcast. I'm your host, Ben Lucian. And it's like Christmas here at the office. In my hand right now, dear listeners, is a copy of our new May-June issue. It's a little magical whenever we get a new one. It's not really a unifying theme for this one so much, but our cover story, it's a fantastic softball feature that we can't wait to tell you some more about. We're especially excited because our cover models are none other than OU's Riley Ludlum and the living legend herself, OKC Sparks' Jocelyn Allo. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but first, how about a word from our sponsor? You are called to be bold. You have a right to the best wireless service, high-speed internet, and customer service at a price that you can feel good about. At Bravada Wireless, we know this, and that's why we put you and your community first. Bravada Wireless, the power of connection. You know, they say nothing lasts forever, and that wisdom sadly applies to restaurants as well. Listeners may have seen our question of the week this time online already, which was, what Oklahoma restaurant from the past do you miss the most? This is a bittersweet one because one of life's biggest taunts is the feeling of warm nostalgia for a bite of food that you'll never be able to eat again. I don't mean to be so much of a downer. Yeah, they did.
They really went after it.
Well, there's so many, great restaurants from the past.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, Nathan, what is the restaurant that...
There were so many. I had to, the number one answer for me is Ingrid's. Yeah. I miss that place so much.
It's still hard to believe that it's gone.
I have to drive by it on my way home every day, and I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Although a pizza place opened next door, so that's exciting.
I saw that. Yeah. I know. I miss it. It's so close to my house. I could walk to it from my house for Sunday brunch. I love it. Their food was delicious. There was nowhere else like it. But I did have some shout-outs. Terra Luna Grill was really good. I miss Irma's Burgers. I miss, I'll say... Galileo was always a big place for me in the Paseo District in Oklahoma City, but the place that replaced it at Picasso, I think, is actually better restaurant. So Galileo's, it's fine. And then I miss the Hilo. The Hilo Club, which isn't technically a restaurant so much as a bar.
I'll extend it to bars as well.
I feel, every time I think of the Hilo, I feel that pang of, you know, when you took something for granted and just assumed it would always be there and then one day it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's what I think. That's the feeling of the Hilo for me. I didn't go enough.
Yeah.
And I should have gone more. Yeah. So those are some of mine. I thought of a whole bunch more. But,
There's honestly, I'm percolating like five different ones in my mind.
Yeah.
We'll see where we end up by the time it comes to me. Carly, what restaurant do you miss?
It's kind of hard for me to talk about this, honestly, but Sandwich Club.
I love
that place so much. I would
so
go
good.
There like at least once a week. And like, honestly, I'm not trying to shade the other restaurants in Oklahoma City. I'm really not. But like, that was just like, that was like the type of sandwich that like I would make for myself if I could buy the best ingredients. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like some fancy like chef, you know, thing. It was like real sandwich, but just like amazing. And then everything was 80s themed. Yeah. And so it was so much fun. I just love that place. And they said when they closed that they might reopen at some point, but it's been a couple years they now and I've not heard that. Anything. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to come back.
That was disappointing. And they were so creative too. Like they had a nice mix of like, they were really creative with their recipes, but there wasn't the kind of stuff that you were like, ew.
Not like some weird like mayo, Worcestershire, some
all their stuff was like stuff you'd actually want to eat.
Yes.
It was just creatively assembled. Yeah, I love that's a good answer.
Thank you.
Between
that place.
The Sandwich Club and then also Scotty's Deli, someplace else.
Scotty's is great too.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a sandwich void.
Readers, actually, I've been wanting, please tell us where your good sandwiches are. I need a good sandwich place.
That
and I've not
be a
found
good question
it. Yes, please. Where sandwiches are so important to our lives.
Western culture is built on sandwiches.
Well, Megan, I know sandwiches are important in your life, but did
Very
you
important.
Choose a sandwich restaurant? for your...
Well, you know, I am sad that Jane's Delicatessen is gone.
So good.
But what I'm actually more sad about is Laffa is gone in Tulsa.
Oh, man, that place was amazing.
That was... The shawarma platter was just one of my favorite things to eat, so... And Lotus Thai in Oklahoma City, because I can't about stop them. There.
It was short-lived.
It was short-lived, but
it had excellent Thai food. Mm-hmm. And then I do kind of miss Old Sauced. New Sauced is lovely, you know, but yeah. I do kind of miss the grittier, some of the grittier places in the Paseo that do not exist anymore.
I know one that I thought of that specifically when I think of Megan and Carly, when I think of you two, Prairie Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Because Steve Walker's office used to be right there. We used to go all the time and get breads and pastries and coffees and all kind of stuff.
I still have a sourdough starter from their bread. Really? I've kept it alive all this time. I'm so proud
That's
of myself.
Awesome.
I literally never made bread with it, but I still have it if anybody needs some of it.
My friend Jessica has a sourdough starter because her former partner used to work there.
Nice.
Really? Oh.
Okay.
Did she get... us some? Is no Lori got did, us some.
Yeah. No, this is just an independent one.
Interesting.
So, that's all. I miss that place like crazy. Mm-hmm. I miss it like crazy. So anyway, sorry, I found another one.
Kirsten, I'm curious about your answer. Are you gonna give us a Darko special?
So actually I am, because it's not technically like it wasn't just a restaurant, but it had like a grill and stuff in there, and it was our old bowling alley there.
Oh, you showed us that when we were there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like just a restaurant, it was the bowling alley. But like in that bowling alley there was like a grill where you could get like chicken strips and burgers, and like the burgers were so good. Like they were so flavorful, and so like they're like the old burgers that were just like they're kind of greasy but like a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone down there, like we all still really miss the bowling alley burgers.
That's awesome. That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. Wow. What about you, Ben?
Well, like I said, I had a few different options in my head. I'm just gonna go ahead and say all of them.
Do
Why
it.
Not? Because you know.
Do it.
So there's only one true restaurant in the list, but Lips Macker's, the former gas station.
Yeah.
A burger joint, which was really fantastic. They had a lot of really innovative burger ideas, and it was very cheap for what they gave you. And
that whole building is gone now.
Yeah, that whole building is gone now. That whole gas station there on Penn and Penn
like
and
I-44.
Yep. Yeah. And so Lip Smackers, I miss a lot. In terms of, did you ever go to Nancy's Lighthouse?
Yeah.
Yes, I miss that place so much.
Place was good.
That was, you know, it's sort of a complicated place for karaoke, but I enjoyed it the best out of all of them. It was just really nice and spacious in there. I don't know. And you don't, none of the other karaoke places have really been able to totally replicate that for me.
That's a shame.
And then outside of that, I like to work at a lot of like coffee shops, and a lot of those have gone away, at least in the area where I like to do a lot of my work. For example, Che, so you remember Che, the Korean restaurant?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they reopened later, as they also had some Korean menu items, but it was a coffee shop as well, where you could do a lot of work. And that was sort of in the closer to the Nichols Hills area, kind of by where I'm living now. So it was a convenient place for me to stop and do some work. They're sadly closed now, so I won't be able to do any work there. Right now, I'm sort of I'm trying to find my new work spot. I'm working on it.
I like the humble brag about the zip code.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
over by
I
Nichols
did.
Hills, close to where I'm living for now.
Oh, if you knew where I lived, you wouldn't think it was a humble brag. Let's
Ben Lucian 90210.
I don't own a house, by the way. Let's get to some answers from our lovely listeners, Gary Crow, and so many others. This was our most popular answer, Casa Bonita.
Which reopening in Denver, thanks to the creators of South Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never been to a Casa Bonita, but I mean, people have told me about it.
There was one. It started in Tulsa.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
I went to the one in Denver in 2008. I think it was before it closed. I think it was 2008. I have photos. It was insane. So you know that it was owned at the time. It was owned by Taco Bueno.
Mm-hmm.
So the food was...
No, I didn't know that.
Basically, the food was Taco Bueno.
Yeah,
it wasn't the same menu, but that's what it was.
I knew it was close to Taco Bueno, yeah. But I didn't know it was really...
It was actually Taco Bueno, which is... I love Taco Bueno. It was fine, yeah. But, like, you don't go for the food. You go for the people jumping off the cliffs. You know, all the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Is it, like, just... Like people that they pay to jump off the cliffs,
yeah,
or just
like
randos?
A guy in a Speedo just does it over. It's like his job. He checks in on his shift and just jumps off a cliff for 8 hours.
That's a weird job.
It is a weird job, yeah.
Can I just say, I really don't know what the cliff jumping thing is.
There's a big, tall, like 3-story cliff inside Casa Bonita in Denver and a waterfall, and this guy like jumps off of it and into a pool below, and then he just goes back up and does it again.
Well, that doesn't happen at all the Casa Bonitas. So,
I don't. Right. I think there is just one now.
Yeah.
Casa Bonita in Denver.
Right. Yeah.
But so did that happen at Tulsa?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh. I never went to the one in Tulsa.
We need to find somebody who went.
Somebody who knows, write in and tell us.
They probably will. Stacy Fuddicker said Crystal's Pizza, and that was another very popular answer. Mm. He says it was the best place to eat out with kids. My now adult children still talk about it.
Where was that?
Northwest Expressway?
Yeah,
right?
I think.
And then there was one in Tulsa.
Okay.
Or there's probably maybe a couple in Tulsa.
I noticed a bunch of people said Showbiz Pizza, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. I think the pizza place of your childhood, that's really resonates with a lot of people in terms of nostalgia.
Yeah, for sure.
Our colleague Chris Cook said Molly Murphy's. That was another popular answer. In fact, all of these were pretty much mentioned on more than one occasion because we had hundreds of answers. Chris Myers Lane gave us a whole list.
Oh.
Chris said Casa Bonita for the sopapillas. No one makes them as good. And she liked the atmosphere as well and their food. Dare Dutchman, they had deviled crab and their hush puppies were really good. Pioneer Pies.
I forgot about Pioneer Pies.
I actually ate at that one.
That
was a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Applewood's. Oh, those fritters, she says.
We had our senior banquet at Applewood's, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did.
She also says Crystals for the pizza and the fun.
Yeah.
And then finally, Sleepy Hollow, best fried chicken ever.
Oh.
Sleepy. I feel like I've heard my mom talk about that place before, but
I never went. It was really popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mahan Borden says Old Germany in Choctaw.
Oh, yeah. That
best ever in Oklahoma. Miss the food and the wonderful owners.
I miss that place, and I miss the Oktoberfest they used to have every September.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a funny sentence, but it really it was always the week before the state fair. It was a great Oktoberfest that they would have in Choctaw. I wish they came back.
No, this might come up later in the podcast. I did take German for several years, and we would go out to Old Germany restaurant.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Cindy Earls Faulkner said, Luby's, Queen Anne's, Dotson's, loved picking and choosing exactly what I wanted,
somebody
and it was consistently delicious.
Yep.
Luby's.
Who doesn't love a cafeteria?
You know, as a kid, I despised going to those cafeterias, but as an adult, as a wiser adult, I really kind of miss it now that I can't, now that it's not really available to me.
I give it, like, sometime in the next decade, some Silicon Valley bro will reinvent it. Yeah, so then you'll get to do it again.
I was missing Boston Market yesterday.
I love Boston Market.
They still have them somewhere.
When I was in college, we only had it when I was in college.
Really?
And we would go on Sundays. Yeah, I loved it. So
I've been there like three times in my life, but man, it was a treat.
It still exists. Boston Market still exists in other states.
It does.
Just not in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and it's not even that great.
No,
there's something about it that I just.
It makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Totally. I'm like that with Fazoli's.
Oh.
Is that your happy place?
It's one of them. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot.
There's still a Fazoli's on Northwest Expressway.
I'm like that with Hot Pockets.
To live around the corner from it. It was dangerous. Mm. What else did people say?
Sam Hazen, I just like the way this one was written. From way back in the 50s, Beverly's Chicken in the Rough, OKC in Norman.
That place is a legend.
Yes, it
is. It existed until fairly recently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fried chicken, sir. Well, This is, by the way, not Beverly's Pancake House, original inspiration. Right.
The one that inspired.
Yes.
Yeah, its child was around until recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fried chicken served with no silverware, but a finger bowl with warm water and lemon wedge. Also, Sussie's Pizza on 23rd in OKC. The first time my bro, as a small child, had pizza. He didn't like cheese, so we didn't tell him it had cheese until he declared he loved pizza. I feel like that's a common... a lot of kids say they don't like cheese.
Do they?
And then, well, not all of them, but that is a type of kid that will say that.
I think kids' default sometimes is ew to everything that's not familiar to them. Yes. So.
But pizza's very inviting.
I love cheese, so it's always been there for me.
We're big fans here. Marcella B. said, Coit's Root Beer Drive-In.
Oh, yeah.
Especially their breakfast.
Yep.
I only had that once before it closed, and now I live, like, pretty close to it, so I could go all the time, but
that was
sad.
Great root beer.
It was so good root beer.
So, they have a food truck or cart now that has the Coit's root beer the chili and the hot dogs that they used.
Oh, man.
But what I'm nostalgic for Coit's was, because I don't really drink root beer, so the truck doesn't do it for me, but they had a lot of their other stuff, like their breakfast and their, like, fries and tots and things. Like, I don't know, as a kid, those really stood out to me. I don't know if that's because I was just a kid or if it's because they were especially good, but I'll never know because I can't go back in time.
That makes me think of when I was in high school at Southwest 89th and Western, there was just a freestanding A&W.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go there and you could get for $2.14, $2 plus tax, you could get a bacon cheeseburger, a root beer, and some fries.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was so good. I know.
What a deal.
Like, the 90s were amazing, right?
You remember 39-cent hamburgers at McDonald's?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that was quite a day.
That is just kind of hard to believe right now. Beth Stacy said Diamond Jack's, the Tulsa sandwich place.
Ooh.
I haven't been there, but it sounds good. I'll never get the chance to go there, I guess. Tracy Floriani says, how has Ann's Chicken Fry in OKC not made the list yet? That place was amazing.
People love that place.
We would go there for my mom's birthday a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had a boss at a former job who that was where he wanted to go every, like, boss's day and birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And finally, Greg Elwell, our friend.
Who?
Yes.
I don't know her.
Greg says, Alvarado's in Edmond. Yeah, my parents are still searching for a Texas-Mexis restaurant to fill the enchilada-shaped hole in their hearts.
Did he steal Texas-Mexis from me?
Oh.
Greg.
I didn't realize that place closed. I've eaten there.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It was good.
There was one on the south side. I don't know if it was the same people, but it was also called Alvarado's. It was really good.
Well.
Did you guys have, can I ask a version of this story? Have you guys written about a place for here that closed that you were really sad about?
Probably.
Because I feel like I don't know. I've been here for a dozen and a half years at this point. Like, I know, like, the Vintage House in Burlington.
It reopened as something. It is something else.
I think it closed again, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's gone. But I'll have to check. But the Vintage House in Burlington was once very good, and if it still exists, I'm sure it still is. But
I was sad to. I didn't write about it, but I went with Lori when we photographed it. It was Stacey Bond in Midwest City. Man, I am. Eschew catfish usually, but if it's almond flour breaded and that's the way she did it, that is some good catfish.
Oh yeah, they're awesome.
That place was great.
Right.
One of the best places at the Arts Festival too.
Right. Which will be closed by the time this episode comes out. But
we're going to go right after this.
Suckers.
I don't know. It just feels like, you know, like after a while of working here, like you try these places and you read about, you know, and you work on them and you really start rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always sad when they don't make it.
Yes. And it's sort of a, we make the comment a lot about the Oklahoma Today curse or whatever. But
which is a joke.
The reality of it is just that restaurants close.
Yeah,
I mean, businesses aren't forever.
That's so much.
Especially the restaurant businesses can be very fickle.
It's such a big thing. I feel like I've learned working here is like really enjoy the places while they're around.
Because
for any reason, they like the person might just one day be like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's happened a few times. You know, like, there's nothing wrong, and it's very popular, and they're just like, I'm kind of sick of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, enjoy your restaurants and bars while you have them.
Absolutely.
Pretty soon there'll be plant shops and.
You know, pharmacies. we could do with a few more plant jokes, I'd say. So let's talk about this new issue. Megan, you and Nathan, you all went out to actually do the shoot
we
with
did.
Siobhan.
Yeah, we did.
So what's sort of the inside story of, you know, working with Jocelyn here and getting this cover together?
What? I will say...
there was a lot. It was a scheduling challenge.
There were some feelings around it. Because the original concept was to have Jocelyn and an OU player and an OSU player and OSU at the last minute. Couldn't do it. And we couldn't reschedule at that point. We were too late in the process. For all my OSU fans out there, that's why your team is not on our cover. And I'm sorry about that. But it happens. It's okay. But it was... Other than that, it was a really fun night. We went out. It was Siobhan Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Shot it out at... Softball Hall of Fame OGE Energy Field Stadium in Oklahoma City's Adventure District. I don't know. It was a really, really good time. Megan, what do you remember about that night? I remember they both got there at exactly the same time, and it was cool to kind of watch Riley watching Joss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it felt like she kind of looked up to her and was kind of excited to meet her, but she was very cool about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. She was very, very cool. I could tell you from overhearing their conversation that Jocelyn is wearing Fenty.
Oh.
Makeup.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Her makeup looks beautiful.
Yeah, she
really
looks
does.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny at some point, you know, Siobhan was shooting and she had the shots were coming up on the screen over here and she invited the girls over to come and look and see, and Jocelyn bends over and looks and she just goes, "We look hot." Like that. So that's, I don't know, it was just cool.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, what did you think about that shoot?
I don't know that I have much to add. It was, yeah.
Well, so
I'm just glad that it happened.
I know.
Yeah. OSU wasn't able to make the cover, but they are prominently featured
in the story,
that written by
they're a great
Rindo
squad.
Fred.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, go ahead. I'm gonna look up what they're ranked right now.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But it's fine.
I'm sure they're doing very well.
They're number four. Nice. We're number two and they're number four as of April 25th at 10:28 a.m.
Yeah. The story was really, the softball World Series every year is such a big event.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I went out to a game. I've been out to two games this season at Softball Hall of Fame Stadium. The first one was in March and they had opened ticket sales. I sat on the upper deck. And the traffic getting out there was World Series traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting from the zoo over to the stadium, which is about a half a mile, maybe less, took probably 20, 25 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, it was like just solid cars. Mm-hmm. And that's just a regular game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't playing Texas. It wasn't a playoff. They just had sold, you know, a bunch more tickets and opened the upper decks. And so there were a ton of people there.
I think you could make the argument... outside of college football, that softball is the second biggest college sport.
I think it's easily, yeah. If not, it's becoming it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
Right up there with basketball. But yeah, it's a big deal. And even, you know, women's college basketball was bigger than men's this year,
mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. And I love, you know, like that's what I love about the softball World Series is, you know, I didn't grow up. You know, I grew up in the 80s. Like, I didn't grow up in a world where women's sports were a big deal. And
right.
It's exciting to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's exciting to see. Because everybody's out there, like no one's, I don't know, everyone's just rooting for their team, you know, no one cares.
Right.
Like, I don't know, I just think it's cool. I love it.
Yes. Well, like I said, this issue didn't have a necessarily a theme.
I disagree.
But we did
the
have...
theme was sports and bugs and cowboys and cowgirls.
Yeah, that is my favorite theme. As a kid, that's how I insisted my bedroom.
That was your birthday party every year?
Yes.
It was cowboys and sports and bugs?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Carly's, I really loved Carly's bug feature.
It was so good.
Yes.
Thank you.
It was so good.
What was it like working on that?
I had so much fun writing it. The hardest part of it, honestly, was picking the six bugs that I covered, because mm-hmm. there's like 20,000 plus species of insects in Oklahoma.
Do you think we're gonna have people writing in saying, why didn't my bug not make
you know,
I hope so
because I would love to do like department stories throughout the years for different bugs, because there are insects that are, you know, deserving of their own story.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be lumped in with everything else, but like talking to the entomologists was the funnest part to me, because I love people who study something very specific and it's like such a niche topic, but they're just like so enthusiastic about it and everything. saying, like, one guy, I was like, just, this is just so cool. You just, like, bugs are just awesome. And he was like, yeah, I know. That's why I made it my career studying them. Right. So, and they just have so much information, and they just, I mean, they just really, really enjoy talking about their field. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun.
That's awesome.
And the story is fantastically illustrated.
Oh yeah. JP Brammer's illustrations are, oh man, they're so, so good.
Yeah. If you listeners remember our cover with the bison on it, the illustrated bison from a few years ago, that was JP, and he's back to illustrate insects. Yeah. And he's so good.
The boll weevil is my favorite because he does the furry, like it has lots of fur on it and stuff, and you can just see the texture. It's almost like you can feel it. It's so good.
They're such good illustration.
And I know a lot of people are scared of bugs because we are kind of evolutionarily designed to be afraid of them because they can, you know, they can cause problems for us, but they're so important. And every bug, no matter how disgusting or ugly it is, has a vital role in the ecosystem. So I hope people think a little bit more before they step on bugs.
Is there one bug fact that you learned through writing this that stands out to you?
Oh my gosh, definitely the way assassin bugs consume their prey. They like,
this was the best bit of writing in the issue, the way you described this.
They have like a little, it's kind of like a straw, it's called a proboscis, and they like stick it into their prey, just, and then they suck out all of the guts and everything. It's like a Capri Sun, you know.
That was the line, that was the line that I loved, that it was like a Capri Sun.
I'll think about that every time I drink a Capri Sun.
I don't know that I'm going to drink one now.
Well, so you did not get any butterflies into the story, but which is fine because we had an entire photo spread of the different kinds of butterflies in Oklahoma.
Yeah, Megan, Larry Brown just send us this? Like, where did this come from?
He suggested it. He said, I take a lot of pictures of butterflies. Would you guys like to do a story about that? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
They were beautiful photos.
They really were.
Kirsten, I'm curious like about your research process for that because there were so many butterflies and there was so much information to sort through. Like how did you do that?
Oh, we picked some.
Yeah, I got like
well, I assume at some point there was a selection.
Yeah. I got like the list from Megan of which butterflies we were looking, and I just individually searched every butterfly and just read about them and found like, I kind of just like, after a little bit, I just started looking at fun facts too, because I was like, I like the little fun facts, like like the black swallowtail being the Oklahoma state butterfly. I had completely forgotten that from when I was a kid, and I was like, that's such a fun fact. Mm-hmm. And I liked learning about, like, it was really fun to be able to learn about all of the other types of butterflies, because when you're growing up, you're like, here's a monarch. And don't get me wrong, I like the monarchs, but that's all you're taught when you're a kid. You're like, here's a monarch. It travels this far. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch the monarchs grow. And I'm like, that's fun. But there's so many types of butterflies. They're all so pretty, too.
Mm-hmm. It was a great story. It was a really nice collection of things. And I thought it went well with your feature, Carly. Mm-hmm. Just being very, like...
It also helped me to make my selection because I was like, well, I'm not going to cover a butterfly because we have plenty of that in that story. So that's why there is not a butterfly in my 6 insect selection. By the way, I know spiders aren't insects, but they're like lumped in together when you're studying them. So
that was another fun fact that I learned from your story that I did not know was the meaning of the word, that the word bug has an actual scientific meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just a colloquial term for all insects. It is a specific group of insects.
That is so interesting. Yeah. It's something about their mouth parts or something like that.
Yeah, a beak that either sucks sap or blood, which is why an assassin bug is in fact a true bug.
Uh-huh. As is a mosquito.
Yeah.
I would guess.
I think so.
Interesting. Okay. Huh. I loved the insect chunk of the feature well. I thought it was really, or the bug chunk of the feature well.
Yum.
I thought it
was nice.
Well, in addition to the bug chunk, we also had sort of the western ranching chunk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Stewart Ranch story.
Oh, man.
Really stood out to me.
I loved it.
It was interesting just hearing, so the Stewart Ranch out by Eureka, I think. It's just got so much. It's the longest, I guess, continually running family-owned ranch. Mm-hmm.
It's the oldest family-owned ranch in the state. Yeah.
Yeah.
1868.
So to imagine a family business that like goes back that far is I mean, it blows my mind.
I know. And when you read the story, you're like, and you see how tough she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, oh, this is hell.
Right.
Like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, she's clearly just the toughest lady ever and just a genius level smart
mm-hmm.
at being able to, like, do this stuff and adapt to a world that has changed all around her. And I just really respect the heck out of it. You know, they've turned it into a tourism thing. There's a hunting lodge. You can yes. actually go stay there now.
We have a meat packing business.
They have a meat packing
well,
business.
Right?
Yeah, they no. They have a cow and calf operation. They have all kind of stuff. I mean, they have multiple streams of income, which is what you have to do nowadays in ranching. But I just thought it was so cool. And this is the rare story that came from a publicist pitch.
Oh.
Of all things. I know. We never.
Imagine that.
That never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Publicists of the world. Well, not never, but it's rare for a story this big to come from a publicist pitch. But she had a publicist, you know, because they're advertising the tourism stuff and reached out and I read the story and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So
she gets up. Terry gets up at 3 a.m.
3 in the morning.
That was one of the things that really stuck with me. I was like, I can't imagine getting up at 3 a.m. literally ever for any reason. And she gets up every day.
She gets up at 3 a.m. for Bible study. At 3 a.m., I would not be able to read the English language. Like, I would be looking at that book like, what?
Uh-huh.
Every morning.
It's so, so impressive.
It's so cool.
I bet she goes to bed at like 8 o'clock.
Probably, yeah.
At least.
You have to be so tired.
3 a.m. is the 1 hour that is like almost guaranteed I'll be asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Same. Uh-huh. Same.
If I'm not, I'm really mad about it.
Oh,
really,
yeah,
really upset.
Yes,
something
exactly.
bad has happened.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Something's gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
But she's amazing. I loved that story. I loved that story. And then I loved the other half of our cowboy chunk.
Yes.
So funny.
The mustache patch.
I
the
love,
mustache rodeo.
The cowboy chunk is so hot cold because the Stewart Ranch story is so like timeless and beautiful. And it's this thing about history and preserving. And there's the mustache bash. The mustache bash.
Yeah,
which is insane.
It's as fun and like novelty as it sounds.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Just a rodeo, a bull riding event. Where you can, where you're just the riders have mustaches,
yeah,
fake or real.
You have to have a mustache to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also, you should have some experience riding bulls.
Probably. That's usually a good place to start.
I don't think the mustache is enough by itself, but it is required.
Although they will let you watch. Just show up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. One of my favorite photo in the issue is in that story, and it's the kid covered in mud, and you could just see his eyes. We had that photo in a smaller position, and I was like, we have to make this bigger.
Yes, that is a great photo.
It's so great.
That's a prize winner, probably.
The bummer thing about it is that the thing is indoors now, so you don't get the people covered in mud the way you used to in that photo, but I love that. This was David Joshua Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Who's one of our super reliable contributors.
Definitely.
Also, I just want to shout out the designer, Chris, for this story.
It's so
because
good.
It has so much personality, mm-hmm. thanks in part to his mm-hmm. design.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying and pretty and just, it's super cool. So I'm really proud of that.
Agree. Walker Creative really nailed it with the design on this issue, but that's like
as
saying,
they do every day.
That's like
saying,
look, the sun came up. I mean, it's like just,
It's still worth pointing out that
it is. They do excellent work. Yeah. And Chris has really been an excellent addition to that team.
Carly, were there any department stories that really stood out to you? I really liked reading about the axolotls.
Yes, that was a big one.
The
Tulsa
story.
Axolotl story was one of my favorites that I've read in a long time. And that was Margaret, the writer, pitched it to me. She's just full of great ideas. My favorite department story was Megan's Cat Cafe article.
I loved it.
Because it had so much personality. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a fantastic place that like it would be kind of hard to write a bad story about. It I think like it's so much fun, like drinking coffee and helping cats. And Megan, can you talk a little bit about
story.
That
it's Don't Stress Me Out Cat Cafe here in Oklahoma City.
Oh yeah, well I went there and I saw the cats and I guess I can tell
for
a
those
boring
who haven't
story
read the story.
Now we need to support Don't Stress Me Out because they had some
vandalism. Mm-hmm.
Somebody threw like a rock through their window and I was like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And luckily lots of people rallied and raised a ton of money, way more than they even asked for.
That's awesome.
And so
some people see a lot of people loving a thing and it makes them feel angry. angry feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's too bad.
It's a that area that it's in is
it's not the safest.
It's not the safest area either, but it is such a perfect location for them because they have like a really large space, yeah. and the cats have a little room to go into, so if they don't feel like socializing, they can scamper off, yeah. which I love. My favorite thing is that like when you walk into the cat room, there's glass underneath their little tunnel, and so you can look up and see them like laying or walking.
Or, yeah,
it's really
awesome.
Cute. And they have really good coffee too, I would like to point out.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, cool. I got a coffee drink from there. The owner said that they have criminally underrated coffee, so I was like, I'm going to try it, and mm-hmm. it was really, really good.
I still need to go back there and get a cup of coffee because I was all business when I was there.
All business.
Yeah. I was just there to talk.
Hard-boiled reporter.
And I had to pet the cats for the story.
For the story, for journalism.
Do yes. I remember correctly that they're opening up a Tulsa location?
Yes, they are. Yeah, I think in October.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll have to get them on the podcast to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I hope this is a growing trend, too. Please, Chihuahua Cafe.
Yeah. Owl Cafe.
Owl Cafe. I'm not sure how that would work. Lizard Cafe.
Dangerous.
I don't know.
It's probably not very humane.
The Axolotl Cafe.
Kind to have an owl.
The Axolotl
Unless
Cafe.
It's very dark.
I would go.
Axolotl would work because they're contained in their little, uh-huh. you know, yeah. aquarium.
That's
so
true.
You could just put them in the wall.
A fox cafe. I don't think that would smell good.
Becky Carmen said she was going to a Shiba Inu cafe when she went to Korea. So
well,
that's
maybe we need to have Becky Carmen on the podcast.
I would go to a Shiba Inu cafe.
I feel like if people didn't know what axolotls and Shiba Inu were, they would think that we were all having strokes. Like, is there a gas leak in their office this week?
No, these are real creatures.
Shiba Inus are dogs.
Yeah, axolotls are amphibians.
Salamanders.
Yeah. Amphibians.
Kirsten, when you were doing the fact checking for this issue, is there a story that stood out to you as really interesting to fact check?
Oh, because this was Kirsten's first issue going all the way through.
Yeah, it was my first time. I gotta flip through it and remember everything again.
I know, that was so long ago that we sent this
honestly,
issue to the printer.
Like once it's out, I delete so much of it from my brain. Mm-hmm. Like people write and be like, I just loved your story about, and I'm like, what? When did we do that? And I'm like, in the one you have in your literal hands, you're holding it. Yeah.
Well, I think I started forgetting stuff too because I started to stress myself out thinking it was going to be, like, much more overwhelming than it was. I have to do these things. Da, 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 and I was like, no, this is fine. Like,
oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad to know that we didn't burn you out on your first issue.
No.
Hooray! Success.
Places that stood out. I really, honestly, everything was pretty cool to me. Being able to, like, do, like, a whole edition and getting to see, like, the different varieties, getting to switch gears and go from butterflies and bugs to libraries.
We didn't even talk about libraries.
Yeah,
it was so
like
good. We didn't talk about libraries.
I will say, I really liked the prairie dogs too, though.
I just love prairie dogs in general.
They're so cute.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love all the, like, we've had a couple stories lately about the Wichitas and the Friends of the Wichitas, and I'm so happy about what they're doing. Like, mm-hmm. They're just so awesome.
Yeah.
So, recent guests.
Mm-hmm. I think the libraries, I think that's a really good one too. I loved being able to, like, talk to the people and, like, learn about what all they offer at different places, because I would never have thought about that.
Yeah. Like, I loved that story. I love that Steffi wrote it, first of all, our former editor-in-chief, my predecessor, our mentor, me and Megan and Carly. It was such a good story for her to write because she's so literary and she's such an enthusiastic bookworm. No one loves reading that I know more than Steffi Corcoran. So it was a perfect, and she worked at, you know, the State Department of Ed. And so she knows, you know, the work of libraries and all that stuff. She was a teacher. It seemed like the perfect fit for a story for her. And I'm so glad she said yes to doing it.
I have to give a little shout out to the photographers because I was very worried about the photographer. When you say you need to photograph five libraries, I was just like, oh, this is going to be real boring looking. But they brought it to life.
It wasn't boring at all.
No. It looks fantastic. And it was a fun, you know, it was a really interesting story.
Well, we're lucky to have such vibrant libraries here.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely.
Now, don't spend all your library ammo right now because because next week's episode is kind of our library episode.
Next week's question of the week is about libraries.
Well, so. And our guest is from a Tulsa City County Library.
Which is in the story. Mm-hmm. That was exciting. I also loved, Ben, I have to say, I loved your idea for the OKT5, the Mother's Day on the Mother.
Oh, yes.
That was a good idea.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, and JJ just knocked out the illustration for that.
Can I say one more thing about a department story that I forgot to mention?
Yes, absolutely.
Ben's sneaker story was so fun.
Oh, yeah,
Ben, how really did you decide like who would go into that one? Because I know there's a lot of sneaker places in the state.
You know, so I kind of started, I knew I wanted Silhouette in it, mm-hmm. Just because I think that is one of the cooler and more unique shops in the state.
Silhouette in Tulsa.
In Tulsa, yes.
Yeah, in Greenwood.
Yes, and outside of that, I really just went to the Kicklahoma shoe exhibition that they have at the farmers market in Oklahoma City, and it just kind of came together from there. Although I did, I have some friends who are in the vintage business, and they kind of connected me with one of the people we end up talking to, the guy who runs the Deadstock 405 label. Mm-hmm. So I got that connection. But yeah, really just that and just showing up at the event and making it happen.
I know you're a journalist, so you probably can't afford to buy any of these sneakers.
I was about to ask the same question.
Oh my goodness. Okay,
was there a pair that you would buy if you could?
Yes. I would have spent, if I had my... I had to stop myself from spending over like $500.
Oh my gosh.
I walked out having spent over $100 because I bought I bought a chain over there.
Nice.
And you haven't worn it to work yet?
No. It hasn't. It's not really a work chain.
Yeah, because we're such a fancy place here.
I don't know if anyone here is going to try to snatch it or what. But there were so many nice sneakers that it would have been so easy to just drop some money on that. And part of me kind of regrets not dropping that money, but then also part of me knows how much money I make.
So you enjoy eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have other living priorities, so.
Understandable.
Yeah, but
that was a good story, though.
Sneaker culture is really interesting to me. I wouldn't call myself like a full sneakerhead. Like, I definitely appreciate the art of it and the culture around it. But like I said, I haven't had the sneakerhead budget, really. So
it sounds like a lot. Like, one of the people you interviewed in the story was like 17.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't have it either.
Jeez. And yeah, they started him out really young. I mean, that's where a lot of people fall in love with sneakers around middle school, high school, because I think part of it is because they're on, like, basketball and sports teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times those teams are provided with a really nice pair of shoes. Yeah. I remember my brother was on the Klassen basketball team, and he had, like, his first, like, pair of LeBrons that he was so proud of.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And that's, like, kind of how he got indoctrinated for a while into the sneaker world. So.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I remember the first edition of KDs that came out that were really cool. Back in those days.
Yeah, so many of these shoes are connected to a famous athlete of some kind.
Weird.
That's a big part.
I mean, it makes sense, but it's weird.
Well, that's how it all kicked off. Michael Jordan kind of got the ball rolling.
No, that's what I was going to say. Back in my day, we had the ones that pumped, and that was kind of it.
Right. Without the Michael Jordan connection, there probably wouldn't be a huge sneaker culture, or maybe it would have happened later with someone else, but
Tiger Woods sneakers.
yeah
I don't know. Interesting. It was a good story, though. It was a really, really good story.
Yes.
Everybody did a good job in this issue.
Yeah, really.
Everybody
good issue
did a really good job. Really,
I
happy
think
with it.
Most subscribers, if you haven't gotten it already in the mail, it should be coming soon, and you should start to see the May June issue popping up on newsstands pretty soon. So look out for that. I guess now is the point of the show where we transition to the Podvents. Do you guys want to do Podvents?
Yeah. Let's do it.
We love them.
I forgot about them.
You forgot about Podvents?
End of show. Goodbye. You're not doing anything this week, Oklahoma.
1 hour later. All right, so we're back. who would like to go first?
I will.
Oh, thank you, Megan.
No matter the nation, all people are united by dough. Mm-hmm. Whether they're munching on the dough of dumplings, pasta, bread, tortillas, pies, pizzas, or pastries, there is no culture among us that doesn't seem to love wrapping things in dough. The Czech people are no different, which gives us the Prague Kolache Festival on May 4th this year. Mm-hmm. The day begins with a costume contest followed by folk dancing, polka bands, and a two-hour parade. There will also be art, a carnival, beer, wine, a car show, and lots of food vendors. But the star of the show here is the kolache. Every year, visitors eat about 50,000 of these delicious stuffed pastries, and you can be one of them. For more information, visit PragueKolacheFestival.com.
I have been to that thing so many times. I love it so much.
I love that festival. I've never been to it.
It's so fun.
I know. It would be. It looks fun. I just...
Great time.
I'm never there.
It's just great that so many... cultures thought, you know, this food we love, it would be so much better if we just wrapped some dough around it.
They're not wrong. Mm-hmm. They're completely not wrong.
They're absolutely right.
Yeah. It makes it easier to carry.
Yeah. Humans discovered the power of dough early on. It's with us.
I love it. No, my Uncle Jim used to own the funeral home there in Prague. And so my cousins and I would drive the, like, take people from the parking lot to the festival golf cart. It was great. Mm. We got to be like town ambassadors. I love the Prague Kolache Festival. Mm-hmm. Yay, Prague.
Kirsten, what is your event this time?
Get in, losers. We're going to see Lyric Theater's Thelma Gaylord Academy present Mean Girls. Academy performers will be bringing Katie Heron and the Plastics back to the stage in the form of Tina Fey's hit musical. Audience members can enjoy all of the classic Mean Girl jokes from the original movie and the musical numbers from the Broadway show and the movie remake. So make sure you put on your favorite pink shirt and head to Lyric Theater May 3rd through 5th to catch the musical. For tickets and more information, go to ThelmaGaylordAcademy.com or call 405-524-9310.
That's fun.
It is. I'm obsessed with Mean Girls.
I love it. Megan, you remember that time we were at Black Mesa Bed and Breakfast and we sat in my room and watched Mean Girls?
I do.
You know, on my computer.
Kirsten, when was the... first time you saw Mean Girls, what's your Mean Girls history?
The first time I watched Mean Girls, I can't even tell you. I don't remember. I feel like I've just always watched Mean Girls. I probably was like maybe in middle school or something.
Oh, wow.
I've always watched it, so I don't remember my first time. I'm just like, oh, Mean Girls is on. We're watching Mean Girls.
I haven't seen the musical movie. Have any of you guys seen the musical movie?
I have seen it.
Is it good?
Is it?
It's pretty much exactly like the original, just with some songs. And they cut some parts out that I'm not surprised they cut out, too.
Oh, I hear you. I see you. Okay, it's not 2004 anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I haven't watched it yet, okay. But I did listen to part of the soundtrack when it dropped, and I think... They added some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's definitely a worthy, it's worthy of the original movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I'll have to check it out.
Carly, what is your event this time?
It's not Mean Girls, JFYI.
Okay. That's good.
I'm a mean girl, but it's not about me. So I was going to go all out for y'all and learn a little German just for this podvent, but instead I've decided to put our resident German speaker on the spot. Ben, can you say something in German for us?
She is a mean girl. guten Morgen. Ich heiße Ben. Ich höre gerne Musik. Was magst du in deiner Freizeit?
Okay, what did you just say?
I am so insulted.
I said, good morning. My name is Ben. I like to listen to music. What do you do in your free time?
Excellent. Nice. Well, so maybe you won't learn how to say that.
Don't ask me to say anything else.
Okay. You won't learn how to say that at German Fest, but there are still plenty of reasons to show up to the German American Society of Tulsa Event Center May 3rd through 5th. Visitors will find plenty of savory fare to enjoy, including smoked bratwurst and sauerkraut, smoked bratwurst with sauerkraut, and a schnitzel sandwich. Folk dancers will show off their skills as a live polka band plays. And there will also be the crowning of the May Queen, which is a German tradition that goes all the way back to pagan times. And I think there's some dancing around a maypole as well, so that's pretty cool. So if you're German, you're interested in Germany, or you just like fun events filled with German people, this is the party for you. Also, like any good party, it's free to attend. Check out gastulsa.org for more info.
Man.
That sounds like a fun event.
That makes me miss Ingrid's again.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Aww. Sounds like fun though.
Well, I mean, you can put this can be a Band-Aid over Ingrid's over wound.
It can be part of my healing. Yeah. Okay.
Ich spreche nur ein bisschen Deutsch. I only speak a little.
Oh, okay. That's a good sentence.
You speak it better than any of us.
It's a good sentence to know, though. It's good to be able to explain why you're not good at communicating.
That's why I haven't forgotten that. Yeah. Nathan, what is your event this time?
You know, I've been thinking about Panhandle a lot lately. I haven't been in way too long, and I miss the huge skies. I miss the wide open spaces. I miss Black Mesa. I miss the bed and breakfast and the prickly pear syrup and just the clear air and the quiet. I love it out there. Also the great food in Guymon from Nafee's Steakhouse to Urban Brew Coffee Shop. Yes. And they have a Mr. Burger and a Taco Factory in Guymon if you are a fan of fast food deep cuts. But maybe one of the best reasons to go to Guymon is that from May 1st to 5th, Guymon is hosting its annual Pioneer Days celebration and PRCA rodeo. The rodeo is actually one of the biggest in the country every year. It's the 10th biggest rodeo in America. And I don't know if you know this, but Guymon is called the saddle bronc riding capital of the world. The Pioneer Days Festival, which has been going on since 1933, features food vendors, mercantile arts and crafts, and seems like just the perfect complement to a bronc riding Garth Brooksian good time. So for more information, call 580-338-3376 or visit GuymonOKChamber.com. I've always heard that's one of the best rodeos in Oklahoma to go to. Maybe the best rodeo.
Yes.
That and the Woodward one are always the two that I always hear are great to go to.
Anything that can be described as Garth Brooksian.
Garth Brooksian.
I mean, I'm sold.
I mean, it's not Chris Gainesian.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's a totally
that's
different
a
kind
different
of rodeo.
Rodeo.
For sure.
Yeah, and the high-low club's not open anymore.
So there's a lot of big kind of useless things out there, but with the help of technology, they can be broken down into smaller, actually pretty useful things. I'm not talking about pull-apart car scrapping services that can turn that rusting Astro van into a half dozen craft store decorative lampstands, but that might not be far off. The Oklahoma Steam Threshing and Gas Engine Show in Pawnee's Steam Engine Park is a celebration of man's long-standing desire to automate tedious tasks with the resources available to them, a concept that has existed far before AI. For more than half a century, the show has dazzled the masses with exhibitions of steam-powered engines, sawmills, rock crushers, tractors, threshers, and more. These are the machines that literally helped build our state. Thankfully, steam and gasoline won't be the only things getting consumed here. The way delicious sweet corn, barbecue sandwiches, and fresh squeezed lemonade from the on-site food stands get my pistons moving, you might as well call me Steamboat Willie. Check it all out starting Friday, May 3rd to Sunday, May 5th. Admission is free for those 12 and under and $8 for everyone else. 3-day passes are also for sale, just $12, so great deal there. Stop by during the evening hours for a special spark show when the steam engines will be sending up sparks more than 50 feet into the air. Sounds like something really cool to see. For a full schedule and more information, go to oklahomathreshers.org.
There's every now and then there's an event that comes on the show that I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds like it would be the craziest, most amount of fun.
Yes.
That sounds so cool.
Great idea for a show, too, and I like that they have a steam engine park.
Whoever goes to that, I'm so cynical. Whoever goes to that is going to get so much engagement on Instagram.
Yeah.
Why am I like this? Who's the star of the show?
The star of the show, I think I'm going to give it to the Casa Bonita Cliff Divers.
They deserve it.
Yeah.
I agree. I'll show you guys a photo on my Flickr after we're done of the Casa Bonita Cliff Divers in Denver.
I wouldn't last an hour in the asylum to race them. For sure. So, anyone else have a star of the show?
Insects.
Bugs.
Yeah.
Those are good ones. The assassin bug.
Yep.
Because if the assassin bug wasn't the star of the show, we might have some problems. I don't want to get mixed up.
You
with
never
the
know where
bug.
They're hiding.
Yeah, exactly.
Grassy knolls, book depositories.
Well, if you like the show and you still can't get enough, head to oklahomatoday.com or pick up our latest issue on newsstands right now. Send your feedback to oktpod@travelok.com, and we'll talk to you again next week. The Oklahoma Today podcast is a production of Oklahoma Today magazine and the Oklahoma Tourism and Recreation Department. Your hosts are Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner, Carly Ibarra, Megan Rossman, Kirsten Stone, and Ben Lucian. theme song, editing, and production help by Oklahoma Today's production manager, Bridget Sloan. For more information, visit oklahomatoday.com.
Goodbye.
All right, let's go to the art fest.
I have a meeting. Oh.